This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning. This is The Breakfast Grill and I'm Sharis Abdullah. Joining us this morning is Datuk Muhammad Ridwan Ismail, the CEO of the National Water Services Commission or the Suruhanjaya Perkhidmatan Air Negara, commonly known as SPAN. SPAN is responsible for the regulations and performance of the water services industry in accordance with the Water Services Industry Act 2006. Datuk, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Sharis, yes, for having me.
Could you share with us, in layman terms, SPAN's role in the development and regulation of water supply in Malaysia?
Yes, thank you. SPAN, as you have informed, was formed in 2007, but our effective act came into effect on January 2008. Our function is actually to regulate the water supply as well as sewerage services industry. When you see regulate, there are four aspects of regulation that we do. One is economic regulator in setting the tariff as well as cost of treatment of water and sewerage, as well as the social aspect, which we have to balance the social implication to such a regulation. And of course, the important one is also the technical aspect, that the water operators as well as sewerage operators comply to the minimum standards that we require them to do. So that's basically our function, to regulate the water industry on the national level.
Could you share with us what are SPAN's aspiration on issues concerning water supply access for underserved communities, the non-revenue water and water reserve level for Malaysia?
Yes, basically these are key indicators that we put upon the water operators to comply over the years. As you are aware, before 2008, the water operators are quite fragmented in the sense that each state have their own KPI as well as regulated or self-regulated by their own state authority, because the chairman of the water company is also the MB or the CM of the state. But with the restructuring, the general performance of the water operator is now standardized in the sense that we put a KPI on each of the items that we have mentioned just now, especially on reserve margin, the NRW, as well as the pressure for water supply that the domestic consumer need to receive. So I think in that aspect, we have standardized some of the KPIs. And of course, each state will have their own KPI to achieve. It's not that a KPI is standard for everybody, because depending on the nature as well as the conditions of the assets, of water assets for each state, we will definitely, the objective is to progressively increase the capacity of the water operators in general.
Non-revenue water is water that has been produced and is lost before it reaches the customer.
Right.
Our current average is about 37.65%, with nine states exceeding the 25 of our national target.
Right.
Why is there such disparity, and what's the challenge for these states to achieve below 25% of non-revenue water?
Yes, just to make that a little bit of correction, Sharis, I think the level now has come down to, the national level has come down to 35.2% as of 2017 from the 36 or 37 that you mentioned just now. And the lower states are actually around 19% now for Malacca, I would assume. So progressively, there are programs that have been in place through funding by this PAAB, as you call it. We have Pengurusan Asset Air Berhad, where each state will be given, those states that have migrated to the asset light regime, in the sense that they have transferred their assets to PAAB, and PAAB will then raise the fund to actually improve the services through CAPEX development, which include NRW as a component. So over the years, those states that have migrated to PAAB, Asset Light Regime, have decreased the NRW level since 2008. But we have four more states that are still negotiating with the ministry and us to actually migrate to the Asset Light Regime in that sense. So once you have migrated, as I mentioned, there is yearly allocation of either replacing the pipes or replacing the meters, as well as looking at projects to improve NRW, for example, leakage in the treatment plant, as well as reservoirs. So through this mechanism of funding, NRW gradually reduced, which was targeted at 31% by 2020.
You spoke a lot about PAAB, the Pengurusan Asset Air Berhad, and their involvement in assisting SPAN to restructure the nation's water industry.
Yes.
Could you share with us, what is the relationship between SPAN and PAAB, and why the need for PAAB to assist SPAN in restructuring our national water industry?
Yes, exactly. This is part of the government's initiative to restructure the whole water supply industry. Before the restructuring, federal government is giving out loans to the state governments to actually improve the water supply services in the states. These loans are unfortunately not being repaid by the state government. So through this restructuring exercise, PAAB, which is actually a Ministry of Finance-owned company, will take over these loans from the state government. And of course, the operator will have to pay some form of lease rental to PAB because they have taken over the loans. But at the same time, they have to also transfer the assets with the loan of equivalent value. So in that mechanism, the PAB will then raise the funds to improve the water supply to the water operators instead of water operators getting the loan, which the federal government gave earlier. So it's now through PAB. They are the fundraiser for the water operators. So they will then carry out improvement projects for the water operators. But at the same time, the water operators have to pay them a lease rental because of the funds that PAAB raised. So the interrelationship between SPAN, which is the regulator, we are also regulating PAAB in the sense that we are giving them licenses as well, as well as we are giving licenses to the water operators. So we are regulating in both the operator as well as PAB to actually comply to the standards as well as conditions that we impose on them.
The absorption of debt by PAAB on your licensees, does it apply across the board, or is it just for those who are having trouble with repaying their loans?
No, I think all states have problems in repaying their loans before. So those that have migrated to the asset light will have to actually transfer the assets of equivalent value to the loans that they have taken up. So it applies across the board. So this is the mechanism that we have created to actually provide the sustainability of water services through a longer period.
Is this role redundant, especially when PAAB is seen as an added layer? Now, especially with the revenue being extremely stretched, so what would your response be on that?
No, actually, it's not redundant in the sense that the government will not be providing any more loans to the state government on water supply infrastructure except source work, meaning dams and transfer of raw water. That is still within the realm of the federal government, where loans to the state government, in fact, grants actually, no more loans, is given as grant to build dams, is still being given out by the federal government. But for water supply infrastructure itself, treated water, there's no more loan. It has to go through PAAB as the fundraiser for building the CAPEX.
Now, let's touch on the subject of SSP3 or the Sungai Selangor Phase 3. The Water Service Industry Act was gazetted in 2006, and it stipulates clearly the strict conditions and obligation for your individual licensees. So what happened in the case of Sungai Selangor Phase 3 back in March 2018, and why was SPAN not able to take action against Splash?
Well, that is it started off with a scheduled interruption where they wanted to change the the valve at the SSP treatment plant. But unfortunately, the incident that occurred was far more than the changing of the valve. It involved the disruption of the system itself. Well, these are unscheduled interruptions, I would call it, because it was not scheduled to be broken during the changing of the valve. So SPAN's involvement was actually giving the permission to actually do a scheduled maintenance of the SSP tree. And then the incident happened, and there was a big disruption of water supply to about 600,000 premises. And that is, cause a major disruption, I would say. Yeah. So it is not SPAN's intention to actually cause disruption. It was due to procedural matters during the changing of the valve itself. And of course, the whole idea of not only SSP but Selangor is the reserve margin. If the reserve margin of Selangor is a bit higher than what it is now, which is currently single digit, it should be have the impact that such incidents can be reduced. But of course, in that total devastation, which is involved 600,000, it might not be able to solve the risk of residents not getting water because it's quite a huge amount. But at least it can minimize if the reserve margin is higher so that the reserve can be distributed to the affected areas. But unfortunately for Selangor, reserve margin is very low, so we actually cannot transfer some of the water from the other areas to the consumers that are affected.
I'm speaking to Datuk Muhammad Ridwan Ismail, the CEO of the National Water Services Commission of SPAN. Later, when we come back, we will speak about our water reserves level, whether our current usage level is sustainable, and challenges faced by SPAN. Stay tuned on BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
Good morning and welcome back to BFM 89.9. With us this morning is the CEO of National Water Services Commission, Datuk Muhammad Ridwan Ismail. Now, there are many conflicting reports in the news with regards to the level of water reserve, especially in Selangor. Now, one example I could state is the former Selangor MB, Datuk Sri Azmin Ali, claims that there are more than 5% of water reserve margin. However, some statistics from the industry states that it is at 0%. So what is the actual reserve water level in Selangor again?
Well, it depends. Well, currently, it's single digit. It's between 3 to 4% is what has been recorded. But I think effort by both the federal government and state government has been put in sometime back four years ago, where the implementation of two additional water treatment plant, one is the Semenyih 2 and one is Labuhan Dagang, which is Semenyih 2 is already commissioned. So Labuhan Dagang is ongoing. Hopefully, we're ready by middle of next year. So this will actually complement the water capacity for Selangor. But of course, the big one is actually the Langat 2, a water treatment plant, which has been initiated by the federal government. And it is ongoing now. The first phase will be ready soon. This is a big treatment plant, which actually will push the reserve margin to nearly 10%. But unfortunately or unfortunately, Selangor and Klang Valley has a very high rate of water consumption and development. So even with the capacity of Langat 2, very soon the reserve margin will drop back to single digit because of the high capacity that is needed. So basically, Langat 2 Phase 2 would need to start ASAP. So that, you know, we actually plan actually 10 to 20 years ahead so that the reserve margin is what we've encouraged the all water operators to have within 15 to 20%. So that should be the plan for Selangor and all other states as well.
Okay, now recently the state government in Selangor has concluded its acquisition of Splash. And would the acquisition now resolve the issue of water level in Selangor, besides the one that you have just mentioned earlier, with this, which is the Langat treatment plant?
No, the reserve margin will still be there because the restructuring of Selangor water supply services is just to have one company doing the water treatment and water distribution. Previously, of course, we have one party who is treating the water and another party is distributing the water. But with the restructuring exercise with Splash and state government Air Selangor, it will be one entity doing both water treatment as water and water distribution. And that is quite common in other states as well. So, but in terms of reserve margin, we still need the CapEx as well as the improvement to the water capacity in Selangor.
Let's move to another state, which is Kelantan, where in statistically it remains the only state in the country with more than 40% of its population which are without access to water supply. Why Kelantan remains underserved at all?
Yes, this is, I think, a perception issue in the sense that in terms of coverage, Syarikat Air Kelantan, AKSB, has a quite a wide coverage of pipes within Kelantan itself. But because Kelantan population is quite familiar the use of groundwater in their own premise, that means each premise have their own well and they are pumping from their own system. So even with the pipe running in front of the house, because of the free water which they are using from the well, the connection to the existing public water system provided by AKSB is low. I think that is why the access coverage of Kelantan population is low in that sense. But in terms of coverage, I think Air Kelantan is able to actually provide this water supply to the residents.
It states here 60%, but the actual figure, Dato, would it be more than that based on your explanation?
Well, I think, yeah, we, you know, from what we have gathered now is around 60 to 70%, which is coverage in terms of connection. But as I say, AKSB is willing and water is enough to actually to provide potable water to the residents of Kelantan.
Earlier, we spoke about consumption, especially in Selangor, and that could perhaps adjust our expectation in terms of the reserve water level in Selangor. And at the moment, Malaysia is well above the World Health Organization standard rate of 150 litres per capita usage. So what are the main challenges that SPAN faces in spreading awareness amongst the public on using water responsibly?
Yes, I think this is one of the major objectives that SPAN would need to actually emphasize upon over the next period, in the sense that, as you mentioned, our water consumption per capita per day is quite high. Currently, it's at 201 litre per capita per day. And the ministry has already given us a target that the water consumption needs to reduce to 180 litres per capita per day by 2020. So in that respect, we are now emphasizing on the program of water demand management, where we would like residents or consumer to reduce the water consumption, because water seems to have no value in Malaysia because it's so cheap. And you can turn the tap and you will get the water 24/7. But in places where there are water stress, where there are areas or time that you couldn't have get water, then the consumer will have a better value for the water. So we will need to do a little bit of public program to actually ask people to actually reduce the water consumption. One, through aspect of this using water-efficient devices. You know, we have labeled our water products through the star rating that SPAN is doing now. But unfortunately, it is still on a voluntary basis. So many of the residents are not using this equipment to reduce the water consumption. But we will have to probably put a law later in next year or 2019 to actually put the law that all new development will need to use water-efficient devices. And this could be a major effort to actually reduce water consumption in Malaysia. As you know, water, even though we have so much water, but the quality of water is deteriorating over the years. We need more money to actually treat a cubic meter of water since the last 10 years. So I think if effort to reduce water is not there, we will have a problem or water crisis in Malaysia later.
You spoke about these devices to monitor the water level usage for consumers. Are these devices expensive, and would they add additional burden to the cost of living of consumers in Malaysia?
No, actually, by using these water devices, you will reduce the amount of water that you use per day without actually jeopardizing your lifestyle. you might take your bath 10 minutes, but you can still continue to take your bath 10 minutes, but the amount of water used will be reduced. So in that respect, you will have a reduction in the cost of water, in your water bills. So overall, there'll be an economic saving to the public.
But Dato, the cost of water in Malaysia is cheap.
Yeah.
And this introduction of these devices, would it offset the cost of paying for a cheap water tariff?
No, exactly. That is the main crux of the matter. By using this, as I say, water devices, you will reduce the amount of water that you consume daily. With that reduction, we will actually prolong the building of new water assets over the years, and therefore cost a saving to the government in that sense. And yes, the tariff is still low. As I've mentioned, it was, some of the states have not reviewed the tariff for 20 years. You just imagine you are getting your salary 20 years ago, but you still continue to have your lifestyle without changing it. So I think it's about time for water operators to review some of the tariff so that it commensurate with the cost of providing the service.
So speaking about water tariff and water consumption, Selangor has just announced that they will revise its subsidy program to offer 25 cubic meter of water to only the B40 group. Do you think that this subsidy will have an adverse effect now that the government has announced a hike in water tariff?
No, I think the subsidy goes to the affected people, which really need the subsidy. So in that sense, it is reasonable in the sense that those B40 group will need to be subsidized. But in other aspects, those are beyond the B40 group, the consumption is still high. So we need to reduce those consumption and at the same time adjust the tariff so that able to cover the cost of the water operators in that sense. If you look at other utilities as well, for example, the electricity or even more telecommunication, they are revenue is in the 40 billion and 30 billion per year.
That's
but
right.
You look at water, we are only about 4.5 billion for the whole water operators. So compared to those other utilities, we are only 10% revenue. So we need to increase so that the cost of operating the water treatment plants as well as distributing the water system and also upgrading the water supply systems needs to take care through the tariff, of course. So we have now embarked on a massive program of what we call tariff setting mechanism, where the public will be involved in looking at the costs of treating as well as distributing water. And then we will explain to the public that there is a need to increase or review some of the tariff so that the water operators will remain viable over the long run. So this is actually the objective of putting up a regulator so that industry is sustainable economically over the long years. Thank you.
On that note, I was speaking to Datuk Muhammad Ridwan Ismail, the Chief Executive Officer of the National Water Services Commission, or SPAN. That is all the time that we have for today. Datuk, thank you for being at the Breakfast Grill. I'm Shariz Abdullah, and you were listening to BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile. Now with faster speeds every day. Barulah best.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.